Welcome back to Caring Better and Braver. I'm your host, Jenna Juvie. Humans are social creatures. We are biologically driven to develop interpersonal connections, and it's those everyday relationships we form that help us to survive and thrive. As we get older, many of us spend more time alone. We are more susceptible to being socially isolated and feeling lonely. Even if we are surrounded by family and friends, we can still feel lonely. Caregivers can feel this way too. Here to tell us more about the impact of loneliness and social isolation and what we can do to reduce those feelings is a member of the Wisconsin Coalition to End Social Isolation and Loneliness, Shayna Schertz from Gunderson Health System.
My name is Shayna Schertz. I'm a wellness education specialist in the Office of Population Health at Gunderson Health System. So part of my duties at Gunderson as a wellness education specialist is sitting on different coalitions, whether that be in La Crosse or across the state of Wisconsin, older adult programming, employee wellness items, and things like that. So I do sit in on the Wisconsin Coalition to End Social Isolation and Loneliness. So social isolation and loneliness, we often refer to them interchangeably, and for good reason, because they can co-occur. However, they are two separate things. So social isolation is the objective experience of having few or infrequent social connections. So not having many people in our lives, not having close connections. And loneliness is the subjective and distressing feeling of social isolation, often defined as the difference between actual and desired level of social connection. So it's not feeling connected. It's feeling lonely. And you can live alone and not feel lonely or socially isolated. And you can also feel lonely while being with other people. And so sometimes they get really confusing because they seem like they are the same, but they actually are two different issues. And oftentimes we will also hear the term of social connections, and that's just the way that people can physically, emotionally, and culturally connect to others. So sometimes that will be used as an umbrella term for both social isolation and loneliness.
So how many people do we think are affected by this? I'm curious because when we as individuals are feeling lonely, it's hard to imagine others experiencing the same thing we are. We really do feel alone. But my understanding is that actually many, many people are feeling and experiencing some kind of disconnection.
So there is good evidence that a good portion of our population is either socially isolated or lonely or both. And depending on the study, it's anywhere from 20% all the way up to 60%. So it really is broad. More than one third of adults aged 45 and older feel lonely, according to a study by the National Academies of Sciences, Engineering, and Medicine. And nearly one fourth of adults aged 65 and older are considered to be socially isolated. So it is quite prevalent, not only in older adults, but in everyone. You can be an adolescent and be socially isolated or lonely. You can be middle-aged or you can be an older adult and feel those feelings. Those who find themselves unexpectedly isolated, let's just say due to an illness or a loved one, maybe a separation from friends or family, maybe they have a loss of mobility. They can't get around as easily, or worsening vision or hearing, or a disability or a lack of access to transportation. These put us at particular risk of loneliness and social isolation. People who may also be at greater risk are those who live alone or they can't leave their home. Like I said, maybe they have a mobility issue or they don't have transportation, had a major loss or life change, such as the death of a spouse, partner, retirement, or those that have had another life change, such as moving into parenthood, having children, can really make those individuals feel lonely or isolated. Having to move, young adults having to graduate college and move to a different town where they don't have any connections can feel very isolating. Caregivers are another huge population that can feel lonely and alone and socially isolated. So it's really important for people to reach out to caregivers to be their support. Those that have psychological or cognitive changes or depression, those living in rural or unsafe or hard to reach neighborhoods. Language barriers can really make individuals feel socially isolated and lonely. So there are a lot of risk factors, and that can make people really feel alone. But there are also many things that can be done to try to help those individuals.
I want to talk about some of the things we can do for ourselves and for others to feel more connected. But before we get into that, I also want to know more about how social disconnection and loneliness affects our health.
Social isolation and loneliness can contribute to premature death, some negative physical health outcomes like cardiovascular disease and stroke, and it can also have negative cognitive outcomes such as dementia, some psychological outcomes like depression, anxiety, stress, and even suicidal thoughts. It can also lead to negative health behaviors such as increased substance abuse, decreased physical activity, poor nutrition choices, and oftentimes those who are socially isolated and lonely report having a poor quality of life. So the quality of life for those individuals starts to really diminish over time.
So what are we looking for as far as signs or red flags? If I'm thinking about my family or friends, someone I care for, even myself, what would tell me that, hey, this person is pretty isolated, or they might be struggling with loneliness?
So what does social isolation look like? We often think that it looks like being sheltered in a home, not leaving, but oftentimes people who are socially isolated or lonely, they might have those connections. They might be out in the community. They might still go to work. They might attend functions, but yet they can still feel lonely. And so we've probably all experienced social isolation to various degrees throughout our lives. Specifically throughout the pandemic, we've probably really felt some of those socially isolated feelings. They can range. So it could be common symptoms of depression, not wanting to go out and about, not feeling up to talking to anyone, not wanting to stay connected to friends or to family, feeling a relief when some of our plans are canceled, having unfulfilling connections with friends and family, just not feeling that deep connection in our relationships. Sometimes a reduction in our hygiene. So if we are too looking at this from the outside and trying to tell if somebody is socially isolated or lonely, these are the same type of symptoms that we can look for. Those that aren't wanting to go out and about or have plans with us. Those that might have a reduction in their hygiene. Increase or decrease in food consumption. So just not feeling up to eating or increasing their food consumption. And it's also important to note that these signs can develop gradually over time, which can make them really tough to identify at times.
Shayna also mentioned the pandemic, which put virtually all people in a position of feeling socially isolated. Has the pandemic intensified the experiences of social isolation and loneliness?
There is data that shows that it has increased over the past two decades, but what the pandemic did was bring it more in front of people's eyes. We became more aware of isolation and loneliness during the pandemic because we were to shelter in place. We couldn't go out and make those connections as we have had the freedom to do all of our lives. And so while the pandemic might have brought it more to the forefront and it made people more aware of it, it has both social isolation and loneliness has been around for many, many years.
Now, what about technology and social media? AARP did some research and found that more older adults, about 44% of older adults, view technology more positively as a way to stay connected than they did before COVID-19. And 4 out of 5 adults age 50 plus rely on technology to stay connected and in touch with family and friends. What do we think about using technology and social media to combat loneliness and isolation? Are those effective tools?
So some interventions that have used Zoom or FaceTime, they can help us feel connected, and it really does depend on the person. If somebody is more of an introvert, that might make them feel connected. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. However, for a lot of people, having to meet over FaceTime and over Zoom really is an issue because it does take away their time and their connections, that really deep feeling of connection. It's really tough to get over a computer screen or through a screen. And so it's tough when you can't see someone. You can see someone, but you don't have that physical touch. You don't have that physical getting together, going out for lunch, just hanging out and feeling that deep connection. However, on the other side of it, for some people, being connected through FaceTime or Zoom is better than nothing, and it does make them feel connected.
So what are some other ways we can get help if we're feeling alone and lonely? What can we do to start feeling more connected? And most of all, what can we do to help others?
I think the first step would be to reach out to friends, to reach out to family, and let them know what we're feeling and why we're feeling that way. And then they can, based on what we say or what an older adult tells us, we can get them appropriate resources. And really truly knowing that person. Are they an introvert? Are they an extrovert? What are their interests? What do they like to do? What are they comfortable with? And I think too, surveying. So as we survey patients or community members, making sure that we're giving them the appropriate resources and then reassessing their social needs to see if what we gave them met what they needed. Because if they come back year after year and they're still feeling socially isolated or lonely, what we gave them the year before probably wasn't very useful. We want to be able to make that change so that year after year, they feel more connected. They have those resources that they can reach out to. It's not just a one-time deal. So some tips for staying connected would be you could identify a person that you trust, such as a neighbor who can visit regularly, or get the technology and learn how to use it so that you can have video calls. Learn about home and community-based supports and services from different agencies, local nonprofits. Stay connected with family and friends. If you're on the other side of it, make sure that you're reaching out to family and friends, not just older adults, but that population is really important because they're probably spending more time at home, but reach out to loved ones. Just really being connected, reaching out to people, asking people how they are really truly doing can really make a huge difference. We have a great healthcare community at Gunderson Health System. We survey patients, and if they want help, we connect them with a community resource connector who reaches out to them and gives them the resources that they need, helps them feel connected. There are also other agencies like ADRCs, Area Agencies on Aging as well, that can really be beneficial and have a plethora of resources for individuals. There's also some really great online resources, such as the AARP Foundation. They have Connect tools to overcome social isolation. They have an assessment to find out if you are at risk. The Robert Wood Johnson Foundation has some really great information, as well as the National Institute on Aging. Findhelp.org is a great tool and resource that you can go and you can browse social services by state. And so we do have really great resources. It's just a matter of getting them out there, becoming aware of them, sharing them, and really helping those that might be at a greater risk of being socially isolated and or lonely. But we just need to make it apparent and make people aware of our needs so that we can get help.
Feeling isolated and lonely is common amongst caregivers because you've taken on a role that may have changed your lifestyle and routines. You often put yourself in the back seat and you're not accustomed to asking for help. And yet, our personal well-being depends on our ability to take care of ourselves and to learn how to communicate our needs to others.
One thing about caregivers is they are oftentimes themselves socially isolated or lonely, because they're the ones giving care. So they are a population that are often forgotten about because they're the caregiver. They don't aren't looked at as those that might be socially isolated and lonely. And so we really need to make sure that we're keeping an eye on and reaching out to our caregivers and asking them how they're doing. So it's really important to build those connections with our caregivers. There's great resources not only for those that are socially isolated and lonely, but also for caregivers. So making sure if we are the caregiver to know those that we're caring for, notice any changes in their appearance, in their eating patterns. Ask them truly, how are they doing? Try to connect with them. If we're not able to go over and care for them, can we connect with them through Zoom? Can we get them set up to have a tablet or have a computer or a phone to be able to connect with? Can we reach out to other people? It doesn't have to all rely on the caregiver either. So I think there are really great resources for caregivers in our community. And it's just, again, I can't say it enough. We need to really make sure that we are looking out for our caregivers and making sure that they're being cared for as well.
Thank you, Shayna, for empowering us with the knowledge of what social isolation and loneliness mean. What are the signs we can recognize in ourselves and others, and what can we do to get help? Tune in next month for another episode of Caring Better and Braver. Until then, be brave, be informed, and remember, we have to take care of ourselves in order to care better for others. This podcast was brought to you by the Aging and Disability Resource Center of La Crosse County, with help from Nicole Popp, student at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse, and music by Lemon Music Studios.